Oh, hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What is in this soup you
oh,
made?
Oh, yeah, I
oh
mean,
oh, my God, it hurt. My teeth hurt.
Right. It's a little hard. It's lentil soup.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was heavy.
I'm not good at reading.
This is stranger still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we stack papers on Patreon and rocks on learning about rocks. I'm John Began.
Well, I have no idea where you're going with that one. I'm Nick Wood.
We're stacking things,
you're
getting money.
We're making ancient monuments
at patreon.com/flyingmachinenetwork, and we're making ancient monuments.
Yeah, dude, did you know that
sometimes you gotta give a little plug in the beginning? That's all.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay,
it's a good idea.
Well, I did it.
Before we get into this, sorry if we rushed through it, but it's hard for me to sit in a chair.
Yeah.
It's just a weird way to start an episode.
And if you want to learn why, give us money.
Yeah, go listen to our Patreon episode.
Yeah.
Where I make a complete butt of myself. And also
literally
tell you why my tailbone is killing me.
Yeah.
Sitting on pillows does not help.
Everything's killing you. It's called oxidation.
Hey, that's true. You know what's weird?
Stop breathing. You live longer and shorter.
You'll never have to breathe for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
John, what the hell's what's a hedge? What's a hinge?
A hinge?
Yeah.
A hinge sounds like you're trying to, you know, you're working landscaping, you're tired, you're in your golden age.
Yeah.
You've remembered how America used to be great, and now you're just living, knowing that everybody else is getting rights but you, and you're just mad, and you watch Fox News all day, and you go out to your landscaping business, and then you sneeze, and you go, I need to cut that hinge.
Yeah. I think that's all inaccurate.
Okay, I was going with like a boomer landscaper motif.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
No, you're wrong. Would you be surprised to learn that a henge is just an ancient monument made usually out of stone or wood?
Wow.
That's all it is.
Stone ancient monument is much catchier. I don't know why they didn't go with that.
Well, there's a bunch of different henges out there.
What else did we rename last week that was much better?
The black hole.
Yeah,
it
which was
the
called
absence of light.
Sphere,
yeah.
Thanks.
Not a black hole. It's absence of light sphere. But you want to rename Stonehenge this week?
Sure. Pie circle. Easy.
Pie circle?
Yeah, look like little pie symbols.
I guess you're right, yeah.
Pie circle. It's already catching on.
Just like
did
October
you need me
month
to name something? Were you expecting me to come up with some fun joke? Oh, John's so fun. No, this is the educational proper name that we need to rename this with. It's Pie Circle.
Pie Circle. So there's a bunch of henges out there is what I was trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
And it is henge, not hedge or hinge. Hinge. It's just a weird word. But it is, there's a bunch of them out there. The most famous one is by far Stonehenge. Apparently almost 1 million people each year make the trek out to Stonehenge
okay
to go check
my
it out.
My brain right now, my brain. Nicholas.
Your brain, it's hurting.
It's watching.
I can hear
a gif.
A gif
of Eric Warheim from Tim and Eric.
Okay.
With his brain exploding.
Yeah.
That means there's probably a wood henge.
Yeah.
Clay henge,
yeah.
Pottery henge.
Yeah. There's like
silt henge.
I think there's, for whatever reason, the number like 14 sticks out in my head. I think there's like 14 ancient henges.
My goodness. Lead henge, not very popular.
Yeah. People just go crazy there.
Yeah.
So what is Stonehenge, John?
It's a bunch of rocks, man.
It's just a bunch of rocks. It's located near Salisbury, England, not to be confused with the steak. It's been around for probably 5,000 to 4,000 years.
The location, not to be confused with the steak. Is that where the steak's from?
I don't know.
Salisbury
steak
is not from Salisbury, England.
It was made by like a guy named Salisbury, I think.
All right.
Because it's like disgusting or something and no one wanted to claim it. No, it was named after a diet.
The Salisbury diet?
The Salisbury diet, I think.
Wow. Step after keto.
They talked about it on Sawbones. Anyway, Stonehenge was built somewhere between like, well, this isn't even fair to say. Construction began like 5,000 years ago in between 2620 and 2480 BCE. How would you describe Stonehenge other than a bunch of rocks that look like the pie symbol?
Okay. you a little follow. You want to know the real deal?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I know.
Show me the real deal.
Here's the real deal.
Okay.
It's a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
But they're big.
They are big.
Imagine, okay, so I want you to all at home picture
like
a rock.
They're like 31 feet tall.
But picture it really big.
Yeah.
And now put it on top of another one.
Yeah.
And then do that again, like a little pie symbol.
Yeah.
But it's gained notoriety among conspiracy theorists and among
the fringe groups,
the fringe groups, and the cultists, and the curious.
Ufologists.
Sure. Yeah. All folks that don't think that we have a direct answer as to how these would be able to be built so long ago with limited technology.
Yeah.
So there's a cult following behind them.
Yeah. I'm going to do my best to describe what Stonehenge looks like verbally for our listeners. I do recommend checking out a diagram.
Sure.
If you're not driving or something.
Getting interested with your partner and you want to be safe.
Diaphragms are not the safest option, okay. But I mean, you can.
Yeah.
If you want. I don't recommend it. So it's better than nothing is all. I'll say that. So I'm gonna start from the middle out, but there's a few pieces of terminology that we need to lay out first. So when you think of Stonehenge, you think of what?
Rocks.
Huge rectangular stones.
Sure.
That they each weigh between, the big ones weigh between 20 and 25 tons, and the vertical ones that make up the legs of the pie are called sarsens. And the horizontal ones laid on top, they have little notches on the end, so they link together. And then they have like little divots on the bottom so they can sit on top of the sarsens. These are called lintels. And when you take two vertical sarsens, put a lintel on top, you have a trilithon, because it's three pieces. And there's a bunch of like random sarsens laid about that we'll talk about. There's some that have just fallen down. There's also a bunch of smaller rocks that weigh between 3 and 5 tons called bluestones. And they're laid about variously in different circles. And they get their name because they appear blue when they get wet or are freshly cut, which is really interesting.
And they're not, they don't have anything on top of them. They look like little gravestones.
Yes, exactly. Which is key. And it turns out that not all of them are the same type of rock, even though they're all called bluestones. How Stuff Works had this laid out really well. 30 of them are basaltic dolerite, 5 consist of igneous rhyolite, 5 are other types of volcanic rock, and 3 are sandstone. So they're all over the place. And out of all of these stones, some were sourced locally, some have come maybe from upriver, but some of them have come from, we believe, like 150 miles east in Wales, which is kind of, I don't know if you know this, that's kind of a long way away. So to describe this, let's start in the middle. In the middle, there's this huge sarsen called the altar stone. And then around that, there is like an oval shape of blue stones, kind of smaller. And then around that is a horseshoe made of 5 trilithons. And the opening of the horseshoe faces like almost perfectly northeast, which some people will say is proof that aliens built it. Around that is another circle of blue stones. And then finally around that is there's 30 vertical sarsens with 30 lintels on top to form the iconic circle that we all know with the Stonehenge, right?
Yep.
Moving outward from there, there's 2 circles of holes that they're kind of close together. They're called Z and Y holes moving outward. Then closer to the outside of the circle, there's what's called Aubrey holes, named after the person who discovered them. We'll get to them later. And then toward the top of the entire Stonehenge, there's a burial mound called the North Barrow, or Barrow. And there's, I would say Barrow, probably. Then there's a similar one toward the south called the South Barrow. And both of these have sarsen stones called station stones planted on top of them.
So there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And again, I have a laptop that I'm starting to bring. It's back. It's great. So I'm looking at a diagram, and I recommend you do the same if you want to know more about it. It's like a complex anime eyeball.
Yeah.
Like the North Barrow is like the top glisten, and the South Barrow is the bottom glisten.
That's exactly what it is. I've studied
eyeballs to make some logos lately. So.
Yeah, and some of these holes, like the Y and Z holes and the Aubrey holes, we don't really know what they were. They could have had posts in them at one point. They could have held bluestones that were moved. There's also, on the outside, there's this whole circle. It's surrounded by this mound of earth.
Which should be called the moat.
Well, it's a mound of earth and then followed by a ditch.
Okay.
Yeah, anti-moat followed by a moat. But up, like, directly across from the opening in the horseshoe going northeast, there's, like, a perfect line that leads to what appears to be, like, an entrance where some stuff is dug out. And right next to there is a thing called the Slaughter Stone. And then up the entrance is called the Heel Stone, H-E-E-L, like your foot heel.
I'm not into the Slaughter Stone. It makes me think this is, a, like, a ritualistic slaughter location.
Hey, we'll get there.
Yeesh.
You're already catching on, man. So the outermost circle is only about 330 feet or 100 meters-ish. And that's, like, just short of a football field in length. So it's pretty big. But don't expect it to be like 2 miles large. There were definitely some posts there, so they had like totem poles or some sort of structure set up. And the other thing is, everything I describe is how we believe it originally looked for many, many years. And nowadays, much of it has fallen over. Like, very famously, like, the circle is far from complete because a lot of the stuff has just been moved or it fell over or
yeah. And whatever. I'm also curious, like, I think one of the biggest things that makes this difficult for us to understand the ingenuity behind it mm-hmm. is that, like, our brains are probably not that different than they were when the time that these were built.
Yeah.
And people still, like, seeked amusement, got drunk, and knocked mm-hmm. a bunch of stones over. And yeah. We don't get to hear those fun stories.
Yeah. But now, what's interesting is some of the sarsens and stuff have been set in concrete to preserve what's left. Mm-hmm. So you can't just, like, go over and start knocking over stones. Plus, they're 25 tons. You don't want that falling over on you.
Yeah.
You
I'm sure
will
there's
die.
Regulation.
Which brings us, I think, to why this or how this thing was built. John, thoughts? How was this thing built?
I don't know. You already scared me with the slaughter, but I'm hoping the owner's daughter loved coleslaw and he just called her slaughter for short. So,
well, that's the uses. How do you think it was built in the first place?
Oh, big, this giant arm muscles, just lots of push-ups,
yeah,
and a lot of boredom. Like, not much to do at all.
Yeah,
like, oh man,
they didn't have Ataris.
Wouldn't it be cool if we spent the next 7 years trying to figure out how to put this rock on top of these rocks? Like, that's what they did back then, and people are not understanding that. What else are you gonna do? Pick berries, or are you gonna try to pick up this giant rock on top of these other rocks?
What makes Stonehenge so unbelievable is that these stones are huge. They're 25 tons at max.
So right? You're gonna need at least 30 guys.
At least 30 guys, right? But apparently, and this is true, wheels hadn't been invented yet, so they couldn't just, like, cart them from 150 miles away to where they are now.
Wheels are probably copyrighted by Google back then or something.
Yeah.
And they had to come up with their own version of wheels and just not put it in the history books.
Yeah, I know,
or
right?
They'll have to pay the copyright.
But the whole enigma of this thing is, how do they get these huge stones transported? And how do they even cut these stones in the first place? Because they are very rectangular. They're very well shaped. They fit together very nicely. They have, like, this dovetail action. They have the divots on the bottom I talked about. So it's like a perfect Lego. And how do they do that in ancient times? And pretty much, since it's been around for so long, people have had theories since, like, Arthurian times. And there's a tale that Merlin from the stories of King Arthur.
Didn't Arthurian times, that was just then in the 90s, right? It was an NBC show.
Was an NBC show?
Hey, it's Arthur.
That was PBS.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, is it
gonna be going down to your house? You even know the words? What?
If I thought about it long enough, I could.
You should age a little bit and then catch up to me.
My daughter likes that show.
Okay.
So Merlin, you know Merlin, our buddy Merlin. There was a tale that he had magically transported the giant stones from Ireland, where giants then constructed what we know as Stonehenge.
Okay.
And that's not the only theory involving giants. And I didn't know this.
It's Occam's razor. Giants had to exist.
Well, in the Bible, there's this race of giants called Nephilim, and they were wiped out during Noah's flood. But before they all died, the theory goes that they built Stonehenge. And I don't believe that Stonehenge is mentioned in the Bible, but people are like, well, there were giants on Earth, so they obviously built Stonehenge.
Boy, that's not how Occam's razor works, fellas. We're going to listen to another episode of Strange Till after this. It's the Occam's Razor episode that we owe you. We need to do a whole thing on that.
Yeah, is there another week left in September?
We'll see.
We have to wait till November.
Yeah, we're going to have to go through October month first.
Yeah. So there's a few things. We kind of mentioned these before. They're a little bit more fringe. People theorize that aliens helped people build these by giving them the technology so that they wouldn't need to move these giant stones or whatever, you know. And just like the pyramids, we didn't have wheels, so the aliens showed up and were like, hey, here's some wheels. And then they left, and I guess they couldn't recreate the wheels because of the copyright.
I don't know. I don't think Google was that powerful back then. Here's the thing. I honestly, like, I'm joking, but I think that why couldn't they have, like, logs or cylindrical? There's wheels that exist in nature.
Hey, you're onto something here.
Why can't they roll them on a bunch of logs? That's a wheel.
So is that the theory that you're going with?
I'm going with, like, what would I use with the tools accessible to me at that time?
Yeah.
What's possible?
Aliens.
Add boredom.
You're being stupid. It's aliens.
Yeah, you're right.
So do you have any other crazy theories you want to throw into the ring here?
Maybe they went so far into the future that they brought the technology to them into the past.
So, I guess the thing you hear most commonly is that they had no technology to move these blocks, blah, 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 let alone chisel them out. And I personally, what you're kind of getting at is using the technology they had available to them at the time is way more fascinating than just saying aliens did it.
Not only were they extremely bored,
yeah,
but they probably believed in some sky gods that commanded
some sky
them.
Daddies that commanded them to do this.
Right.
So the way that we believe they chiseled out the blocks is they would hammer wooden wedges into cracks that had already formed in these stones. And then they would soak the wood, and the wood would expand when it got soaked and split the crack open. And you could just do that as many times until the rock was split. And then to get them in the perfect shape, they had people come in with chisels and hammers and do all the finer details,
right? And make the cracks.
And make the cracks. Maybe.
Dude,
I don't know. See, that's cool. Like, you would never think of that. Like, because we don't have to soak wood anymore to split rocks. We just don't think of this stuff.
I don't know. You ever run out of paper towels? Head to the forest? Never been there, huh?
So,
some dad you are. Yeah, kind of four pair of tiles all the time, huh?
Yeah.
Don't have to chop down a tree.
Mm-mm.
That's fine.
So to move them, they either probably pulled them with ropes and just had a bunch of people doing it, or, like you said, they rolled them over just a series of logs,
which are wheels,
right?
And so the wheel was invented by
but they weren't
nature.
Like they weren't on carts. There was just
fine.
Like rows
didn't,
of
we didn't
of
trademark
logs.
It yet. Great. it turned. It's a wheel.
Yeah. Some people think they might have brought them down river on a raft, but some other people say that isn't likely.
Oh, rafts were invented, but not wheels. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Well, they would take the logs that they rolled them on, turn them into rafts, and raft them down the river.
Nice try, historians.
So then they also had ramp technology. So they would implement
ramps. Get
that ramps.
Sweet vertical air. Did the 900s.
That's how you got them vertical, right?
Right.
And they were like, they were super bored, right? So they had stuff, and they're like, what can we do with this? So in order to dig out the ditches, they would use deer antlers. They didn't have shovels, but they had deer antlers. So they'd use that instead. They'd dig the holes with them. Here's what's really fascinating. They would use the deer antlers to dig out holes. They would set the stone up at the edge of it and then pull it up with a rope, and then it would fall into the hole, and that's how they got them vertical.
Great.
Isn't that awesome? It's so simple. And people are like, no, aliens did it. It's like, no, these people were actually smart.
This
Give them
like
some
actually,
credit.
Yeah, it's really cool, like, ingenuity.
Yeah.
What's the verb of ingenuity?
Smart.
Sure. So they had...
It was really smartly.
I'm impressed by it.
So I'm
very unimpressed by any conspiracy theories lately.
Yeah.
When I realize that the truth behind it is, like, creative thinking.
Way more fascinating, yeah. Like, this... By saying it's aliens, you're doing a massive disservice to these people, because we also assume that these people were really stupid. I just got into an argument with my brother about this today.
Neanderthals?
Like, well, this was specifically with my brother. We were talking about ancient Greece, and they're like, they knew that there were 9 planets and blah, blah, blah. I was like, they had nothing to do but stare up at the night sky, and they were bored, and they were a lot smarter than we thought they were.
Yeah.
And it turns out they didn't know we had 9 planets. They thought we had 10. This is a whole different conversation about Tom DeLonge that I don't want to get into right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's going to be another bonus episode.
I didn't watch it, but go watch the Joe Rogan where Tom DeLonge talks about all these things that, if you look into them, it's not actually what he says they are. They're just cherry-picking the details that fit their theory, which is where all these conspiracy theories come from.
Tom DeLonge is very wrong very often, and we're going to talk about
him. Yeah, but here I am. I'm ready.
I'm calling him out.
So the other important thing to consider is that all of this wasn't built at one time. So aliens would have just like had to come back and make several visits for no reason. Some of the stones they believe came from a bigger monument that was built even earlier than Stonehenge and was 15 times the size of Stonehenge. And they just borrowed the stones for this, which is way more impressive.
What?
But aliens didn't help with that one, right? The whole thing was built in stages and then added on to. So at first, like toward 3000 BCE, like I said, the ditches were dug and the mounds were created. And that's all it was for like 400 to 600 years. It wasn't even all these stones. And then later they brought in they built the horseshoe and the circle, the Sarsen Circle. And then the blue stones were rearranged until it stopped being worked on like 4,000-ish years ago.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I kind of feel like the Z-holes that were surrounding everything mm-hmm. were like their first attempt at like, nah, we didn't get the circle right. Let's try again.
That's definitely possible. Smaller. That's kind of what they think happened, is that the holes were where blue stones used to be. And this place has always been super important. So it's I mean, when you go back into history on the site, it's clear why they built these on here. Like, people are like, this was the perfect place for ley lines, which we need to do an episode on ley lines, because they say, like, what was it? I'll get to it. But it was like up to 10,000 years ago, it was like they found ceremonial posts, like totem poles that had been placed there, and a bunch of bodies had been buried there. It was a hunting ground at one point because they found a bunch of animal bones there. And
may have to do with the slaughter stones, huh?
Yeah, well, maybe. But it was definitely a hunting ground at one point. And I think that that's a good transition into what the hell was this thing used for. We got to talk about the crazy stuff
first. To warn animals. Yo, I'm going to totally bonk you on the head.
Yeah. So just as long as people have wondered how it was built, they've also wondered what it's been used for. And I think one of the most ridiculous ones was, I think in 2003, someone came forth and just said it was a giant monument to Mother Earth in the shape of female genitalia, which if you look at it, does that look like...
I mean, I've seen some graphs on here that look vaginal.
But this, it does not to me.
Nah.
That's...
But they're really stretching for it. Like, they are making lines that don't exist.
Yeah, exactly. In 1963, Gerald Hawkins proposed that it was an ancient calculator, monolithic computer of sorts.
Why can't it just be like, I'm so bored, let's make this?
Yeah, that's one of the possibilities.
Why isn't that not it? Why is that the possibility? And not even
because it was used for things.
Sure, but not even them. So okay, let's extend that one step further. Instead of I'm so bored that I want to create something, it's subliminally, I feel I need a sense of purpose, so I'm going to create this thing, and I'm going to tie it to whatever I believe in at the time.
Yeah, we'll circle around to that, but I want to get through two more crazy ones, which is that it's some sort of alien technology that we just haven't figured out yet,
okay,
of course. And my favorite is that it creates ley lines with Glastonbury, which we need to do an episode on ley lines.
I just searched ley lines, and it's just like... very confusing.
Yeah, that's why we need to do an episode on it. In the 16 to 1700s, people believed that it was used by ancient priests, aka druids. And part of the problem... So I think that you're onto something when you say, hey, this is just like a cool place and I need a sense of purpose. When they dug out the pits, it was certainly by then like a hunting ground and some sort of ceremonies were performed there, but there weren't any stones there. But they needed a way to signify that this is an important area, so they made a giant circle out of it.
Yeah, I think also there were many religions that existed that we still don't know about, mm-hmm. too. Like, play any video game where there's some obscure religion, but they don't want to pick one, and they're spiritual.
Yeah.
And they always have, like, oh, this is the ritual, and here's what we... Yeah, same thing that actually existed, because human beings are inclined to do that kind of thing.
So there are a bunch of different theories out there over its 5,000-year history of what it was used for.
Did you say right there?
What?
You said right there, like Chingy.
No.
You did. It was great. I wanted you to keep going with it.
Whatever. I don't remember what I said, but it wasn't that. So pretty much any theory that someone comes up with is certainly possible, other than it's an alien calculator or whatever. And part of that is because a bunch of different cultures had been around Stonehenge and used it for their own purposes. So if the druids did use it, it's possible they held celebrations there for winter and summer solstices. Because if you go there, the sun and the moon happen to line up perfectly with some of the stones on these days. So it's believed that they held gatherings on the solstices. There might have also been sacrifices, which is where they found like pig carcasses around the slaughter stones. They might have sacrificed pigs tied to some ceremony, but taking the ceremony out of it, with the sun and the moon lining up to certain stones, it could have just been a calendar used to mark, hey, this it's going to start getting hot soon. Hey, it's going to start getting cold soon. It just could have been like an X on the calendar, right? And as I mentioned before, we found a lot of bodies buried there, and there's a couple theories on this, and I think that it's probably all of these. It could have been some sort of ancient burial ground, so when people died, they just went there and buried their folk. We believe that the blue stones might have started as a way to mark the graves. They also found like houses around Stonehenge, not in Stonehenge, for the richer or the more elite class, which means it could have been a burial ground for the elite. But they've also found some corpses at Stonehenge that they recently discovered were like sick or diseased. Like the bones were malnourished or deformed or something like that, which leads some people to believe it was thought to be a healing ground that sick people would like journey to hopefully get healed, like some that, sort of ancient yeah. alternative medicine.
So that makes me immediately go to like the opposite, that mm-hmm. people go there to die because it's a sacred area.
Maybe, yeah. They just want to, yeah. They feel closer to God at this, or their
sure. Maybe this is where they went to all their group point. Events.
Yeah. One of the interesting things is it may have just been used for musical celebrations. Apparently it has some weird acoustic phenomena, and I have a quote from Live Science, and it's kind of complex, so I'm just going to quote what they said. They said the theory of Stephen Waller, a researcher of archaeoacoustics, like an archaeological acoustics person, Waller says that if two pipers were to play their instruments in a field, the listener would notice a strange effect. In certain spots, the sound waves from the dual pipes would cancel each other out, creating quiet spots. So, like, you would just, like, hear them, and then you take a step to the left, and you wouldn't hear anything.
Yeah. I could explain a little bit about that, too, as a musician.
Yeah.
That's how you make a cappella versions of songs. Mm-hmm. If you have a full version of a song and just the instrumental,
yeah.
you can make the sound waves cancel each other out and yeah. just leave the vocals.
And that's how sound-canceling headphones work. They take the yep. ambient sound and flip it, reverse it. With a friend of them, yeah. They go on to say the stones of Stonehenge create a similar effect, except with stones rather than completing sound waves blocking sound, or competing sound waves blocking sound. Waller reported in 2012 at the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Legends associated with Stonehenge also reference pipers. Waller said the prehistoric circles are traditionally known as piper stones. So that leads them to believe they had musical ceremonies there. And one of my least favorite theories is that it was a, and I kept seeing it referred to as team building spots. It was a corporate team builder.
Wow,
for,
yeah, we're going to go in. You're going to go over your corporate goals.
Yeah. So I like to think of it more as a gathering place. So building this would take a lot of manpower, and there are calculations out there for like how much manpower it would have yeah. taken to build this thing. But it was estimated that there were gatherings of like 4,000 people at Stonehenge when the population at the time would have been like 10,000. It's like yeah. 40% of the population was gathering at Stonehenge. So people were just like, it was like Burning Man or Woodstock for cavemen.
Yeah. What's really odd though is like, I don't know how you're going to explain away that there was that inspirational poster that said teamwork makes a dream work on the side of the stone, mm-hmm. the central stone.
Yeah.
That doesn't mess your theory up at all?
No.
Okay.
Because it was all in Greek.
Oh, weird. So it must have been added later then.
You know, Tom DeLonge says that there was Greek on the side of the rubble from the Roswell crash. And I was like, yeah, our alphabet's based on Greek and Roman alphabets.
Oh, boy. I feel like he's got such a great heart.
Here I am.
And I don't want to know anything more about what he thinks. Other than how so sad he was and how it made so many people feel less sad.
Yeah. I love Blink-182. Should we take a break and then we can talk about how much we love Blink-182?
I mean, yeah, they're great.
Do you want to do a recap first? We haven't done one of those in a while.
A recap? Oh,
and
man.
A new listener told me that they love the recaps you used to do.
They love the recaps I used to do?
Yeah.
Man, somebody's really fishing
my line. Well,
they
haven't listened to the new episodes, and I said, well...
Yeah, you'll see.
Just wait.
He falls off eventually. Just like a lintel on top of a stone.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything to recap the stone.
Yeah.
Stone dry but stone.
Is that your recap?
I don't know. Some people stacked a bunch of rocks and we were like, what's up? Look at this rock circle.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope. And then they were like, yeah, this is dope. We could play flutes here and nobody's even going to be able to hear us. And then later,
yeah.
some dummy's like, oh, it's probably aliens. And then the ancient people were like, like with a zoom effect on their face.
Yeah. Like that meme.
Yeah.
The whoa.
Which everyone's popular at the time you're listening to this. With zooming in.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Bunch of rocks. Cool mm-hmm. stuff. Good stuff. Science. got a little abstract at the end there, huh? Let's go to this break.
Okay. I did some sound effect today that someone was like, I can't believe you. Oh, they were trying to send an email and it took them forever to send it. And they're like, I'm sending it by pigeon. I was like, and they were like, impressed by that.
That's a really good pigeon. You got a good pigeon and a good Shaggy.
Yeah.
Could you do a pigeon, like if Shaggy got transformed into a pigeon?
Like Scoob, what are you doing? Like,
where can people find us?
You can find us at StrangerStillShow.com. You can also find us on iTunes. Leave us a sweet review. Give us some nice words. The other really important thing.
Okay.
And I should have said this at the beginning. Because right. It's kind of themed to this week. We have a new silent cast member. You've met Oscar the Couch. You've met Three Star. We have a new succulent in a stone hedgehog pot.
Okay, hold on. How is he donated to this room?
So I really want a hedgehog more than any pet I've ever wanted. I want a hedgehog.
Right.
And my wife is practical.
Are you a fan of Azuki the hedgehog on Instagram?
No, I'm not.
We'll talk about him after.
My mom gets me a lot of hedgehog stuff to make me feel closer to hedgehogs.
Okay.
So she's got me like a couple paintings. She's got me a couple stuffed animals and she got me this succulent pot.
So she doesn't want you to live your dream. She just wants you to get close enough to have some false hope.
Yeah, because like I said, my wife is practical and she's like, a hedgehog is a horrible pet because it sleeps at night and you need a lot of space for it, et cetera, et cetera.
Can you get a hedgehog with like some kind of mental like difference where they can like control their mind to think that daytime is daytime?
Daytime!
Yeah?
Daytime! Daytime! Have you seen that video? It's like a funny video. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is because I've asked for suggestions on our Facebook page on what to name this hedgehog succulent plant. And we'll have I want suggestions first, so go to the post, take a look at the picture of him, and provide a suggestion for a name.
Which we got lots.
Yeah, so far Tracy suggested Sucker the Succulent. I suggested Sonic the Succulent, Gotta Grow Fast. Justin Vignola from Flying Machine fame suggested Bruce, and I do think he looks like a Bruce.
He does look very much like a Bruce. It's probably the eye circles.
I thought it was the nose. But
he looks a lot more like my suggestion, which is
further
down.
Well, let me get there. We could hit it right on the nose and name him after everyone's favorite character that goes fast, Barry Allen. Helen Herbst, the star from Falling in Love montage fame, says that she follows a beautiful hedgehog named David Bowie, Lady Hog. So she has to throw in David Bowie into the mix, which I also love for some reason. Jimmy, gotta love Jimmy, suggested Mabel after silent film actress Mabel Norman. Your grandmother suggested Minnie the Moocher.
Oh, man. She already got a Minnie Moocher in her life. What is she talking about? That's what my parents' dog is called, Minnie the Moocher.
Our favorite L in the world suggested Bernard, but pronounced like the British way, what is that? Bernard? Bernard. Bernard.
Bernard.
Bernard.
Bernard.
Cousin Tammy suggested Bob, and then you said Gotti Go Fast, the Italian intermittent fasting hedgehog.
Pronounce it correctly, please.
Hedgehog.
Gotti
Go Fast, the Italian intermittent fasting hedgehog. All likeness and characters, fiction or nonfiction, are coincidental and not a representation of Stranger Still Incorporated. I didn't know we were incorporated. Good for us.
I didn't know that we were so worried about getting sued.
So go suggest a name for our hedgehog succulent, and we'll put a poll up to get the official name.
Right. But if you do want me to give him a very fun talking voice, like, hey, I'm Gotti, I gotta go fast. Hey, come on.
Yeah. Gotti go fast.
I could do lots of jokes about leaves. Yeah. You know? Hey, you succulent.
I get
Just kidding.
He sucks.
I'm not a kitten, I'm a hedgehog. See? It's endless.
This is awful. This is awful content and I hate it. Our podcast sucks. Let's end it and never do an episode.
Let's leave a review, please. 5-star minimum.
Do we have anything else to say this week?
That's it. I just want the reviews. I get very personally excited. Do I cause you personal excitement in your life with my voice?
No.
I'd like you to do that to my brain. Leave me a review on iTunes, please.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yep.
With that, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is
Gotta Go Fast.
No. Are we changing the name of our podcast?
I don't know. I'm trying to dig that in. I gotta win this poll.
This is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.